The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we move to the ousted former BP chairman, who has said that no one raised any issues about his conduct before he was sacked 2 days ago. BP ousted the Dublin man, Albert Manifold, on Tuesday, saying the move follows serious concerns raised to the board related to important governance standards, oversight and conduct. Let's find out more about what's going on with business correspondent Emmett Oliver. Good morning, Emmett.
Morning.
When this happened a couple of days ago, everybody was wondering what in heavens had happened. Are we any clearer?
Well, it seems to be over the last 48 hours, Claire, a bit of a clash of personalities and style, more than maybe very weighty or substantial issues, and probably a little bit about managerial and sort of leadership style. That's what's kind of coming out of a statement. So Albert Manifold, just to give people a brief background, is a huge figure in Irish business. He was earning 12 million euros in total remuneration at CRH before he moved into this new role at BP. And it was very much seen as a big kind of a moment for Irish business to kind of penetrate the walls of British business at the highest level. Peter Sutherland, another well-known Irish business figure, had been previously at BP as well. So this was sort of a slightly well-travelled terrain, but nevertheless very much sort of recognised as a big achievement. And it seemed to be going well. Initially, there had been some question marks that Albert Manifold had no previous experience in the oil business. He was in, obviously, building materials at CRH, but nevertheless, that was kind of got over. But according to his statement this morning, what happened, as far as he's concerned at least, is he arrived there. He's saying he refused to take the office of the previous chairperson of the company. He said he bought his lunch in a local cafe. He said he took taxis and trains and not a chauffeur-driven car or limousine that was offered to him by the company. And he said he called out cost control of the company where he saw it, when he saw excessive expenditure. And he's claiming that the company, or certainly people within the company, didn't like this stance he was taking and didn't seem to appreciate it. That's effectively what he's saying. And he's describing what they've said about him as lies, is the word he actually uses. And Sky News have reported in the last 48 hours that he has looked to the service of a legal firm. So this looks like it's going to a bad place between the two sides. But there's really no way back for Albert Manifold in BP, whatever might happen in any litigation or so on. So it's a huge personal setback for him. And on the other side, what the company seems to be saying, and this is sort of channeled through the Financial Times and sources that they've contacted, is that his style was described as shouty, was the particular word used, and that, you know, he didn't necessarily have a good relationship with other fellow board directors and with other senior leaders in the company. So we're kind of left in a position, Claire, of sort of picking the bones out of it and trying to see, is there some kind of overall cohesive picture emerging?
Just when you look at it, I mean, he, as you were just saying there, he's saying, I pushed hard, I challenged people directly. And then he talks about the characterization of my conduct that is now being put about. And if you go back and look at what BP said when this announcement was made a couple of days ago, it was ambiguous enough to leave everybody wondering about Albert Manifold and about what had happened. When you say, oh, there are issues around governance standards and oversight and conduct issues. I mean, it does leave you with questions in your mind as to what exactly went on. So you can understand why he feels aggrieved about that statement, particularly coming off the back of the dismissal of the former BP CEO, Bernard Looney, because people might just not connect the two, but, you know, two Irish men in very senior positions in BP, very different scenarios, but a connection might be made.
Yeah, certainly the initial press release, press statement from BP did come as a bit of a bomb explosion. And certainly, as you say, the language could be interpreted in multiple ways.
Yes.
Certainly it might have been seen as maybe some kind of personal issue or something to do with staff in a more personal sense. I don't even want to say what that might mean, but I think we could all listening in have a sense of that. Certainly his view seems to be that, as I said at the start of the interview, it's more sort of a case of management styles. Now, obviously, CRH have their style of doing things, and I covered CRH for many years, and I know a lot of their executives, and BP obviously have their style of doing things. And to me, anyway, just as an outsider looking in, it's in there that the problem is. There's some kind of clash or cultural difference or something, or his way of doing things. Now, he was at CRH for a long, long time, like for multiple decades, and CRH, anyone listening in will know, they have a particular, I suppose, culture or reputation. It's a hard-charging reputation. They're obviously a big global company involved in a lot of very hostile countries. And you know, they have a particular way of doing things. maybe, and this is just pure speculation by me, but maybe that style did not translate into the boardroom where you had chauffeur-driven limousines and so on, the very gilded oak-paneled rooms of BP. That possibly, and again, I have to, you know, strong emphasis, this is just my speculation, but maybe there's the melding of those two was the problem. But the bottom line is, Albert Manifold will not be going back to BP. They don't want him. He's not going, and he is going to have his reputation, at least to some degree, damaged by this episode. Now, whether Irish business or other business cultures will just ignore what happened and say, look, he still has a lot to offer, is possibly one outcome. But certainly his time in British business at this level looks to be over, Claire.
Right. Well, I mean, it is interesting that you talk about the gilded life of an executive in BP. And he's made it very clear that he was not interested in living that way or living this part of his working life, certainly in that way. I heard a former BP senior employee saying this is about, you know, needing to be of the oil industry, that there are very difficult things happening now and you need to have lived and breathed what they do in order to deal with these problems. In other words, BP is a closed shop and you need to be one of the lads to be able to survive and thrive in that sort of an organisation.
Yes, I mean, that's certainly, you know, that could very well be true. I suppose the added complication of the picture here is the CEO he was dealing with, Meg O'Neill, was a woman from the US of A, Boulder, Colorado. So, I mean, she obviously comes from that US business culture, just to add a separate complication into things. So it sounds to me that these people at the top of BP just could not kind of get themselves onto the same page. And as you said, when you're a big FTSE 100 company, there is a certain, you know, there's a certain image that goes with that. Albert Manifold, when he was appointed, was kind of seen as a bit left of field. As you said, he didn't have any industry experience. Yes, CRH is a huge company, but it's not a household brand. It's not a sort of a name that trips off the tongue in, say, other countries outside Ireland, despite its scale. So if there was a slight sniffiness, certainly from some of the reportage at the time when he got appointed, of sort of who is this guy, essentially, you know, where's he come from? Why has he not been in the industry before? So he may have sort of felt, well, I need to bring my own sort of attributes to this job. And maybe he was just very aggressive on the cost cutting piece, which, you know, a lot of shareholders would support. But maybe it just rubbed other people up the wrong way. And that, you know what, Claire? It's possible we will never find out unless they write a memoir or a book many years down the road.
But we might. You know, that's the other side of it, depending on how far this goes. Emmett, thanks so much for talking us through it. It's an intriguing story. That's Emmett Oliver there.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.